Good evening. It's great to have all you faithful church members here tonight. We appreciate you being here. Almost singing to the choir, I think, or preaching to the choir tonight. Tonight we have one of our favorite guest ministers, Ing, and we're looking forward to having her here. She's always a real pleasure. A reminder of the pizza and sacred stories coming up next Wednesday through April 16th. We hope that you will join us every night, or at least one time. We appreciate that. And yes, Carol? We'll be putting out a donation. Okay, we'll make sure someone does that. Okay, thank you for reminding us. And also a reminder of the deacons' donations to the food pantry in back there. There's a slip there you can pick up. It tells you the items that you're going to have. Any other announcements? Okay, with that, we turn over to Ing.
I did want to make a brief announcement on behalf of Pastor Tom and Audrey. When I left them yesterday, it was my turn. The Baptists from the Baptist Church, they put together a little meal train for them. And yesterday was my turn, which meant it was Domino's Pizza. So when I went to see First Lady Clifton, they left. And as they spoke of their gratitude for this place, they both got tears in their eyes, and Tom said, be sure that you tell them what they mean to us. And so I just want to pass that on to you as someone who loves them very deeply and has for, you know, 10 years now, and I thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Can you please pass it back, Tom?
I absolutely will. I'm going to see them tonight because Miss Audrey needs a cane. So my mom's old cane is going to get some work out. So. But I hope she's going to be using the walker, not quite the cane just yet, but she is doing very well. Thank you. Yeah. And I did want to make the announcement, too, that, you know, I'm so excited about the Wednesday evenings that you're having. You know, I'm only speaking one of the nights, but when I found out you guys were going forth with it, I made sure that all my library stuff was clear, so I'm going to come every Wednesday night to be with you guys. So I'm excited. So I think it's going to be a beautiful time. I really do.
Well, don't speak too soon. You may speak more than once.
Well, I don't know if you get a little tired of that, but I am grateful. And I invite you to follow along with our call to worship, which will be on your screen or in your bulletin. Beloved, in the middle of our busy week, we pause to observe Ash Wednesday together as a faith community. We come to remember that God made us from fragile, blessed dust and breathes through us the breath of life and love. From dust we are created in God's image, and to God's good dust we shall return. With dust and oil we claim the mark of God's beloved creature. Today we begin our 40-day Lenten journey to discover who we are created to be as God's beloved. In the daily practices of prayer and service, we embark upon this Lent journey. We follow Jesus, God's beloved child, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, in whom we see God's image most clearly. So come, let us pray for strength and imagination to follow Jesus wherever he will lead us this Lent. And please rise in body or spirit as we sing Beneath the Cross of Jesus, number 216. Please be seated. Our scripture this evening is just one verse from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make humans in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals on the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth." The word of God for the people of God. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we're all familiar with all of the idioms in the English language. If something's easy, we call it a piece of cake. When we give away a secret, we let the cat out of the bag. And when we go to bed, we hit the sack. And today is Ash Wednesday for many Christians. And Ash Wednesday is the day that we cut to the chase. It's interesting, that phrase, cut to the chase. Do you know how it got its origins? It's fascinating. It began in the silent film era. And silent films, and a lot of films, have a chase scene in them. You know, people running, or cars, that kind of thing, or horses, I guess, I don't know. And many movies, particularly the comedies, they would climax in this exciting chase scene. But sometimes, all too often, inexperienced screenwriters and directors would pad the film with unnecessary dialogue, which totally bored the audience, who just wanted the chase scene. And so studio executives would tell the writers and directors to stop filling the movies with boring talk, that only delayed the interesting scenes, and cut to the chase. Today we mean that as get to the point. And admittedly, you're probably saying that about me right now. With Ash Wednesday, the lectionary scriptures, they all want us to cut to the chase, to bottom line the message, if you will. The scriptures that are picked out in the lectionary for today, you know, they all want to make sure that we know that we are going to die. Traditionally, today is the day that we are called to think about our mortality. And as we begin the season of Lent, this time in which we walk with Jesus as he comes closer to his death, when the government executes him for showing too much love and too much welcome and too much disdain for their power and corruption, we walk with Jesus to his execution on the cross. Now we have the benefit of hindsight, and we know that Jesus rises again, that tears turn to joy, and that life becomes a glorious resurrection. But for now, here on Ash Wednesday, we traditionally receive ashes, and we are reminded that from dust we came, and to dust we're going to return. And when I was younger, I swear the world was different. I think we needed that reminder more than we need it today. But frankly, I don't think we need any more reminders of our mortality. You know, in the last 5 years, we lost more than 7 million people to a global pandemic. Today, there are 111 armed conflicts taking place around the world. The media can remind us of that all the time. Russia is still attacking Ukraine. There isn't a person in this room who hasn't suffered the loss of a beloved spouse or child or brother or sister or friend or parent. I don't know about you, I don't think that we need another reminder of our mortality. And traditionally, Ash Wednesday cuts to the chase by reminding us that we've sinned, that we've fallen short, that we've hurt ourselves and hurt others. And I would be willing to bet that there is not one person in this room who needs to be reminded of the ways that we've fallen short. Is there anybody? Is there anybody here that doesn't feel guilty? Is there any one of us who just needs reminded one more time about the coulda, shoulda, woulda, if only we'd been more X, Y, or Z? Nah. Because the truth is, we are reminded by well-meaning friends and relatives. I was reminded this morning by a stranger who cut in front of me changing a lane in the Liberty Tunnel. I guess that's a thing now. I was reminded that I wasn't going fast enough, that I was upsetting this individual. We're reminded every time we look in the mirror that we're not perfect. And so tonight, I don't think we need another reminder of that. And so this Ash Wednesday, as we begin the journey with Jesus from lament to alleluia, through Lent to Easter morning, I invite each one of us to cut to the chase by going all the way back to one of the creation stories in Genesis. There are two of them. But the one that we just heard, Genesis 1:26 says, God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. And this is vital for us to remember these 40 holy days. This right here. This is a sacred story of when and how God made us from dust, yes, but from beloved dust. Now, we think of dust as something that I'm told that a lot of people get rid of dust, like that they dust and clean it out. I've not had that experience, you know, that I don't do that. And so dust is usually seems something that we want to get rid of. But God loves dust. And God made us from beloved dust. The same beloved dust that God became human in that same beloved dust. This Jesus of Nazareth, this vulnerable little baby who grew into a man, who died for love, made from that same beloved dust, divine dust. Listen to what the author of Genesis says about when God made you and you and you and you and every one of us, each person out of dust. We are made in God's image. And the priest that I love, that I quote all the time, one of my favorite priests, he's Father Greg Boyle, Jesuit, and he says that if we all would remember that we are created in God's image, it sounds like it would be just too easy to be true, but it would cure the world's ills. Because if you are made of divine dust and I am made of divine dust, then you are not one of them and I am not one of my own group. We are all divinely created. We are all sharing that image of God and beloved by God. We cannot forget that we have divine DNA, that God does not create evil, sinful creatures. God created and still creates life in God's holy likeness. And it's when we forget that, when we forget that we're not made for love, to love, in love, that's when we hurt one another. That's when we hurt ourselves. We call that sin. And this Lenten season, I invite you to recall that you are created by God with beloved dust, the same dust which formed Jesus. And this knowing, this understanding of the love that God has for us, is the love that will be with us and sustain us these 40 days. That is cutting to the chase. In our struggles, in our joys, we are God's beloved dusty creation. And to our beloved Creator, we will return. And in just a moment, when you come forth to receive ashes, I'll make the sign of the cross on your forehead if you'd like it there, if you'd like it on the back of your hand. I know many people prefer that. And I ask you, if you can, if you're able, don't avert your eyes or bow your head. Don't think of the times when you've fallen short. I ask you to hold to the truth in your heart, the truth of your heart, the truth that will set you free, and the only truth that's going to lead to peace. The only truth that's going to lead us to God's will being done here on earth as it is in heaven, something that we pray for every time we gather. You are created in God's image, and you are the holy child of the loving creator of the world. And remember that you are loved as you were, as you are now, and as you will be. And for that we give thanks. Amen. And I invite you to the observance of the Lenten discipline. I have a litany of penance, and after I read the statement, if we could all say, "Have mercy on us, O God," and at the same time, if we could remember that story of the prodigal son. It's really the story of the prodigal father, because prodigal means like wasteful, resplendent, over the top. And when we think about the son that we've known as the prodigal, the one who takes his inheritance, goes off and spends it, and then comes back. In that story Jesus told, that son, he doesn't really say he's going to come back and apologize. He doesn't come back with a repentant heart. He just says, "Oh my goodness, here I am not having anything to eat, and my father has people that work for him that are his slaves that are taken care of better than I am. I'm going to go back to my dad." But before he can even get there, where's dad? Dad's already looking for him. Dad's already looking for him. And when he sees his son, he's already running, which he should not have done in that day and age, to see a guy showing his legs like that. No. That was not to be done. And all of the neighbors must have looked at him and thought, "What a fool. What a fool." But that father was a fool for his son, because he just gave so extravagantly of this grace and this mercy. So when you repeat, "Have mercy on us, O God," remember that God's already given you that mercy. So again, our response is, "Have mercy on us, O God." O God of life, we confess the ways that we turn away from the fullness of life that you offer. Have mercy on us, O God. O God of love, we confess for the times when we did not love one another and ourselves as you made us to love. Have mercy on us, O God. O God of mercy, we confess that we've loved with limits, that we put conditions on our forgiveness. Have mercy on us, O God. And O God of all of us, we confess that we struggle to believe the truth, that you love us with a love that will never let us go. Have mercy on us, O God. And the good news, my brothers and sisters, my siblings in Christ, is as Jesus demonstrated to us that God wills us to have life and have it abundantly in life to come and life here and now. God's love, mercy, and tenderness are more than we can imagine. And because of these gifts, because of the nature of the God of us all, we are forgiven. And so I would invite you to come forward and receive ashes if you are comfortable with that.
Can you do one blessing and go see Kathy directly?
Absolutely can.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes, I can.
Thank you.
I can go around to all of you if you would like to stay right where you are.
Thank you, precious.
Because that would be an honor. You are made with God's beloved. Beloved. God's beloved. Mm-hmm.
Not gotten my ashes. Would anybody like to? That's quite the honor.
God loves you.
Thank you. There again, those darn emotional women pastors. And cry. Let us sing together verses 1, 5, and 4, sign us with ashes. Please be seated.
And just God, your kingdom. No, we're going to sing a hymn. We are going to sing a hymn, and if you would, please stare and embody your spirit as we sing together, Come to the Table, verses 1 and 2. Please be seated.
Let us pray. Righteous and just God, your kingdom is everlasting. You reign with truth and compassion. The grief of the world resonates within our bones, and we ask you to intervene in the hearts of minds that have been hardened by comfort and complacency, by arrogance, greed, by power or violence. We seek a world in which the needs of all are met, by the sharing of the abundance you have created. We believe in the ministry of healing in which all are well, mentally, physically, relationally, financially, and spiritually. We lift up every concern that we carry in the recesses of our being, trusting that you know our needs and care for our condition. Redeeming God, release your power among us so that we may be instruments and ambassadors in your kingdom. Reconcile us to your ministry so that we may be faithful and break out like the dawn, proclaiming the day of salvation and abiding peace. Committed to your good news, we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Beloved, the Holy One has set this table before us with bread and wine that are offered the gift of a holy presence among us. Like that first supper, we bring uncertainty of our future, the heaviness of the world, and the hope that following Jesus, we can make a difference. And whatever you carry, whatever you hold, know that this table has a place for you, for all of us, to be who we are and hope what we hope to be. Welcome to the hospitality of the one who was, who is, and who is to come. We accept the invitation to commune with Jesus and one another as a community of God's people. On the night of betrayal and desertion and despair, Jesus gathered with his disciples for a meal. Jesus took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Eat this bread in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and he blessed it, and he poured it out and said to his disciples, "Take this cup and drink from it. This is the cup of the new covenant. Do so in remembrance of me." Eternal God, the table has been spread with divine mercy and favor, creation's bounty and human effort. We know that you have sent the Holy Spirit to bless and consecrate these gifts as you bless and sanctify your people who gather among you this day. Restore us to the joy of salvation and the sacredness of our lives in spirit and truth. We ask your blessing upon this feast as we dine with you, Source, Christ, and Spirit. And now the elders will move among you, first with the bread, and this symbol, this holy sacrament is a symbol of Christ's body broken for each one of us.
Thank you.
this holy meal, renew and strengthen our connections with human siblings, brothers and sisters throughout the world and your church. Make us faithful in proclaiming the mystery of faith, the gospel of love and liberation, and the fullness of life in the way of Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us sing together hymn number 166, Lord, who throughout these 40 days, verses 1 and 3. Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and all those whom you love this day, this night, and throughout all eternity. Amen.
Amen.